to tell you what's happening. I guess, well, actually, we're not going to do anything. I'm going to tell you what's happening. There's going to be no me. It's just going to be I. So I am going to tell you what's going down here in just a second, because I know you listeners out there have been wondering for the last couple days, what is the future of the podcast? You're going to find out in just a moment. But first, for the people out there who are living under a rock and have absolutely no clue, for the people that don't know who I am handsome Nick Costos. I am well-dressed Nick Costos. And for over a year, I have been the best part of the show, the most talented part of the show, the guy who's pulling all the strings behind the scenes. And if anyone's got a brain that's been listening to this podcast for the past year plus, you can tell when the rent is raised, and the rent is raised when handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos is on the podcast, and when he's not, the damn podcast isn't as good. And if I'm being candid with you, if handsome Nick can be honest for a second, if well-dressed Nick can be honest for a second, there are a couple of other titles that we can add to the ledger. So he's going to do that now, because he's not just handsome. He's not just well-dressed. He's also best-looking Nick Costos. He is also makes the most money Nick Costos. He is drives the fastest car Nick Costos. He is the man that men want to be and women want to be with. Period. End of story. Handsome and well-dressed Nick, do you know what else he is? He's petty and he's insecure. Do you know why Nick Costos, the man, decided to add the petty and insecure stuff? Because it adds layers to the character. And I'm not insecure at all. The man Nick Costos is not insecure. In fact, I was reading an iTunes review recently about the show, and one of the moron listeners was writing, I love handsome Nick. He's confident and sad at the same time. Whoever wrote that, I got you, because I did that on purpose. I wanted to add those layers, add the complex character. I'm not petty. I'm not insecure. But that makes you like me more, and it makes you want to listen more. But here's the truth. The man himself, Nick Costos, is a lot less complex and a lot more simple. I'm kind of a cold, calculating dude. It kind of hurts me to say that. I don't like to say that out loud too often, but it's honestly the truth. Handsome and well-dressed Nick is a character, an exaggerated character, really based on myself. And it's not that I'm egotistical. It's that I just know that I'm the best. And that's just the fact of the matter. And this is all going to be explained in the moments to come. And in addition to being cold and not insecure and completely at peace with who I am and the talent that I have and what I bring to the table, I don't let anyone pull any BS on me. And when that happens, and when a person decides to do that, I will wait and I will be patient to exact revenge. So, if you'll allow me, of course you will, because it's my podcast now, I'm going to speak for a little bit as Nick Costos. Not as handsome Nick, not as well-dressed Nick, but as the man himself, Nick Costos. So you all know that I have a million responsibilities on CBS Sports HQ, where I'm on more than anybody. Geez, you turn on the damn network and it's basically an infomercial for my smiling face, because they get it. Now, as we have talked about on the show a couple months ago, I'm in negotiations for my new deal and looks like it's going to get done. And again, this is where handsome and well-dressed Nick comes into play. The money that pays for my expensive clothes, pays for my expensive car, because I'm the best and I deserve the best things. And CBS agrees because they're smart. So my boss actually said to me, we really like you on In This Corner. And I said, well, here's the problem. I can't watch wrestling because I'm doing all this other stuff. And honestly, as I've gotten a little older, wrestling become the second or third love for me. I'm just a much bigger sports fan. And they said, you know, we really want you to do the podcast. So I said, look, you know, I'll consider doing the podcast, but you're going to have to pony up to do it. And they went back and they hemmed and hawed a little bit. And then they decided to kind of make it happen. And they came, you know, we want you to be the face of the podcast. We like Brian Campbell, and Brian's talented. And I don't disagree with that. I think Brian is talented. He's just not as talented as me. And they said, we want you to be the front man. Do you want to still work with Brian Campbell? So you remember when I said that I will wait to exact revenge? The last time I was on this podcast, I was asked by Brian and Adam to come on, and I came on, and Brian decided to, because I disagreed with him in some ridiculous argument about SummerSlam, he really kind of made it a little personal, said that I wasn't talented, of course, rooted in jealousy because he knows he'll never be as good as me in any regard Forget about talent. He's not as good looking as me. He doesn't make as much money as me. I wear much nicer clothes than he does. And he could never, ever dream being as good as me for one day in his entire life. So I said, yeah, I'll front this podcast, but I want Brian Campbell off of it. I don't want to work with the guy anymore. I had no problem working with him if he hadn't pulled that amateur act. And just because I don't really care anymore because it's my show now, you know, we all used to get along pretty well. At least me and Brian did. I never really liked Adam. And I feel like a lot of you probably feel the same way. You know, me and Brian used to get along, but it was really obvious as time went on that he was really jealous of my ability. And that's why I didn't come on as much, because he knew that I stole the spotlight from him. So I'm in essence saying that he's the man whose name is on the marquee, but you all know whose name is on the marquee. And it's me. It's Nick Costos, period, end of story. So they caved because I'm a star. So this is going to be my podcast now. And I don't really watch wrestling as much as I used to, and I don't really have the time to, but let's be honest, right? I'm good enough at this whole talking thing that I'm going to be able to pull it off. And you're going to love it because why wouldn't you love it, right? Because I am the absolute best, because handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos is the best mic skills in the business. And that man that decided to pull the BS on handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos, Brian Campbell. Let me tell you a little something about Brian Campbell. This is a man who could not live with himself because he knew that he was not the most talented person on his own podcast. And Brian Campbell, buddy, this is the first time that I'm saying this out loud because my boss has told me not to say it to you off the air, but I'm going to do it now because I've got the security to do it. You wanted to tell handsome Nick Costos that he's Marty Jannetty and he's not Shawn Michaels. Well, guess what, buddy? You know who you are? Unemployed. You're the guy that just got fired. You're Enzo Amore. You're Big Cass. And I'm a star. I'm the star out there in the ring. You're damn right I'm Shawn Michaels. I'm the showstopper. I'm Mr. WrestleMania. I am the man that people pay to watch, and the people, when they click that subscribe button and the listen button, I am the man that they come to see. It's not you, and it's never been you, and it never will be you. And it is so pathetic listening to the two of you. The two of you on Sunday night do that terrible instant analysis podcast, because without handsome Nick, you guys can barely get through a sentence without bumbling all over each other. When they don't even really know what's happening, but Brian Campbell still thinks, because he's a relentless optimist, because in truth he's a 16-year-old girl trapped in a 40-year-old man's body. He's a relentless whiny optimist who, even with the bullet pointing towards his head and the gun at his forehead, still refused to accept the fact that his podcast was going away. And you got that moron, the Silver King, basically brushing it off. Yeah, we're gonna have a year-end award pod. Well, now you know. And I've really enjoyed, handsome Nick has really enjoyed over the last 24 hours as the realization has started to set in. When the Brian Campbell finds out his podcast is being taken away from him and he may be fired from CBS in totality. I don't know what's going to happen there. Maybe they'll keep him on MMA, but you will never hear, never hear over handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos' dead body, over my Canali suit, over my Xenia ties, over all of it. You will never hear Brian Campbell on this podcast ever again talking professional wrestling, period, end of story, because he is the one that's petty and he is the one that's insecure, and he tried to take it away from me and he still couldn't accept reality, because he never accepts reality, and that's why he's lost the podcast. And I've taken great pleasure. Handsome and well-dressed Nick can't tell you how much he's enjoyed it. And even when the Silver King, when he finally, because he's the last and important and who cares, when he finds out and he starts sending off those really sad tweets and he's starting to realize that his 15 minutes of fame have come to an end, and it just fills handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos with the most unbelievable joy and pleasure that one could possibly imagine. So again, for Brian Campbell, because I know you're listening, buddy, you will never, ever be me. Best will never, ever be yours. And to the Silver King, who I actually want to give a little bit of credit to, because he's a lot smarter than you would think listening to him on this podcast. Silver King kind of maneuvers behind the scenes, right? Like, how do you think the podcast was Silver King and Brian Campbell to start? Silver King's not a professional talker. He finagled his way in there because he's a backstage politician. And again, he's pretty good at it. And for those of you that watch Game of Thrones, he's like Littlefinger. Silver King. He's really good with the backstage machinations. But here's the big between Silver King and Littlefinger. Littlefinger's smart. You don't see through Littlefinger when he's pulling these tricks. Unfortunately for the Silver King, we see right through him. So he's not really Littlefinger. I guess he's more like Varys. And there's been a grapefruit shortage. King's Landing. Isn't that right, Adam?
Hey, now. Yeah. I guess the difference, though, is Littlefinger's dead and I'm still here.
So CBS was like, yeah, we want to have some continuity. So I said, you know, Brian can't be on the show, so we'll have the Silver King be on the show, and the Silver King is going to be like my sidekick. And don't worry, because I know you are worried, you, the person that's listening, he's not going to talk too much. So don't worry. He's going to talk very little. He will basically serve to set me up. So, you know, I haven't decided yet, but I can tell you that this thing's going to be, it's going to be great. And like I said, I don't watch the product as much as I used to, but I'll be able to get my way through it because I know wrestling better than Campbell and Silverstein combined. And I'm a better talker than both of them combined. So Adam, what's our first topic on the new edition of the podcast here?
Well, I guess we can start with that Raw shakeup, you know, Vince McMahon making his.
Stop. Really first... This is kind of the way I'd like it to go. Cause this is not even footing anymore where you feel like you can kind of push Brian Campbell around. You can't do that to her. Don't speak. You can't push around a real star. You could push around Brian Campbell. It's not going to work with me. So you will address me as Nick. Nick, this is the topic. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay, Nick, this is the topic. Raw shakeup, supposed shakeup with Vince McMahon returning to television. Go ahead, Nick.
I didn't get to see much of Raw because I was watching Panthers and Saints Monday Night Football. Great game, by the way. Saints won 12-9. New Orleans probably going to clinch home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. And I think Ron Rivera is definitely going to get fired by the Carolina Panthers at the end of the year. And can you please shut down Cam Newton? Like, the guy clearly does not have it. So Raw was kind of secondary to me on Monday night, but I did catch on replay like half of that opening segment. And it just kind of seemed like more of the same to me. Like, you're going to Vince and Stephanie and Shane and Triple H. Like, what's new here? Like, what are they doing to really hold my attention? I guess they didn't. That's why I was watching the Saints and the Panthers. So I was not a huge fan, Adam, of the McMahon family coming back to Raw. So yeah, that's what I have to say there. So that's the analysis. What about something from Tuesday?
Well, I mean, are we just okay? So next up, Nick, the McMahon family also showed up on SmackDown. You had Vince McMahon making his first appearance on SmackDown, I think, since Kevin Owens gave him a headbutt. So what'd you think of that?
I actually didn't see them coming out on SmackDown, but I do know that Ryan is the champion on SmackDown now and that he's turned heel. And I think that's pretty damn cool. Like, I've been excited for a heel Daniel Bryan for a really long time. And I read, that he had a great match with AJ Styles, at the last pay-per-view. So I'm hoping that they keep the title on Daniel Bryan for a long time, in this heel role, maybe build to a WrestleMania match, maybe turn the Miz face. Heel Daniel Bryan against face Miz. That's something that I think would be really cool. What else do we got?
Well, are we not even going to keep like the same format? We're not going to do the main event. We're not going to do anything like that.
Okay, relax. Let me think. I guess we can still, I don't want to keep like too much of it because it's going to be like, and we'll figure, and again, like, this has all happened very quickly here. So we'll kind of figure it out as time goes on here. But for now we can do the main event. Yeah.
You all bought it. You all bought it. Hook, line, and sinker.
You guys didn't really think I was going out like that, right?
I had y'all all fooled, y'all a bunch of puppets.
I mean, come on, seriously.
I got a lot left in the tank.
Nick, hit us with the intro.
Welcome into the State of Combat Podcast. This is the Professional Wrestling Edition, and it is with the Brian Campbell. Now, me, I am handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos. And handsome and well-dressed Nick, he spent much of the last 24 hours thinking about how he was going to try and pull that off at the beginning, going in and out of character as dastardly, cold and calculated Nick Costos. Then back into handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos. And while handsome and well-dressed Nick Costos has had to watch a lot of football because it's football season, football season's almost over. So soon he will be back. And yes, I am petty and I am insecure. So please follow me on Instagram at the Costos because I need your likes and your validation to get through the day. And as always on the State of Combat Podcast, I am joined by my tag team partners. First up, he is a man whose heel to face turn can only be compared to the Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 7. He is a man that was once so reviled by both myself and Brian Campbell and the audience, and he is now so beloved. He has become a folk hero. He is essentially the Macho Man celebrating in the ring. Unfortunately, he doesn't have his Miss Elizabeth. Not yet, but in time, that will happen. They're crying in the stands. Somehow, some way, against all odds, he has turned face. He is the Silver King, Adam Silverstein.
Hey, now.
And as always, I am joined by the man whose name is on the marquee.
Come on.
He is the icon.
Let's go.
He is the main event.
Bring it.
He is the showstopper.
One time.
He is the whole effing show.
Stay hyped.
He is the bod that runs the pod.
Here we go.
He's the mast that guides the cast.
It's time.
You know his name, damn it. He is the Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
BC, tell him what's on the State of Combat podcast.
Nick, thank you very much for returning. And listeners, I know you're probably thinking, what the hell is going on here? Was this just some big joke? Here's the deal. Yeah, we did a little pro wrestling with you on a pro wrestling podcast, but real changes needed to be made for this podcast. The ITC is out. The State of Combat with Brian Campbell is in. Why? I guess you're thinking and asking, well, Silver King, what happened to the old, those brothers in wrestling, the tag team there?
Let's just say the Young Bucks are not the only ones in the world of professional wrestling that might get a C&D from time to time.
So we kind of had to make a decision. Yes, the future of the podcast was very much on the ropes. But the good news is we are back. We are better than ever. We are rebranded, fueled, of course, by that same magic potion, the untraceable, the unmistakable, performance-enhancing audio. But I do want to say one thing, Nick Silver King, I'm sure you'll agree. This whole little mini-episode of what happened to us from Sunday night, me legitimately saying, guys, this is the final ITC wrestling podcast with things going on behind the scenes, legally and corporately, legitimately, by the way. I didn't expect the outpouring of love that we ended up receiving from many, many tweets, DMs, text messages, emails, and even phone calls of people not only wanting to know what happened, not only offering their services, or even offering their money, saying, look, guys, we'll put you on Patreon. We'll write letters to your senators and your bosses. This show matters to us. We need it. We want it. And guys, if they say you never really find out how much you're loved until you're dead. We kind of had this mini eulogy. It was not expected. This was not a trick to force that out of you. But thank you very, very much for that. And God, by the way, it did bring the return of Nick Costos from his hibernation of tanning beds and swiping right and making a lot of money in Stamford, Connecticut. Nick, welcome back, brother.
It's awesome to be back. And, you know, the last time I was on SBRI, you and I kind of got into a little bit and never really resolved it. But, you know, when you reached out to me this weekend and you were like, hey, like, I've got this idea, I'll never pass up the opportunity to do good business. And we did kind of have to throw this together last minute. This was not something that we could really let marinate, unfortunately, because there was actually real legal stuff behind it. So hopefully, you know, that was pretty good. And always great to be back talking wrestling with the fans of the ITC. And I really appreciate all the support from them as well. So always great to be back.
Yeah. Honestly, guys, like two things. First of all, everything I tweeted was actually true. So nothing you read from me was a work. You know, it was all real, number one. Number two, as the one of the three guys, you know, on the show, at least today, who, you know, is not normally on television, does not normally do radio and podcasts. You know, I waded into a part of the industry that I was not experienced with previously. So I was extremely flattered by the outpouring of affection and all the nice things you guys said in your tweets. Means a lot and lets me know that, you know, I think I'm doing something right here. So happy, extremely happy to be here. State of Combat with Brian Campbell. And BC, where do we go from here?
We keep giving what we're given, and that's the performance-enhancing audio. That's this over-the-top show that we love to do. Really, not much is going to change, but the name. Well, maybe we'll be doing some more instant analysis podcasts if we can keep reaching that threshold. I mean, you know, you want to
get if they keep giving us pay-per-views like TLC, I think we can.
I mean, if the people want to get to 500 reviews on this show, we can do a Wrestle Kingdom instant analysis. We can do a, you know, Royal Rumble instant analysis. Hey, it's up to the fine folks. But again, guys, we tried to take a bad situation and make it good. We hope you enjoyed it. We are back better than ever. And Nick, I think it's only right that you give a real life update to the fans. We know you've been in and out of the wrestling product. We know you've moved your life to Stamford, Connecticut, home of WWE, also the new CBS Sports HQ branch and East Coast residents or Northeast Coast residents, whatever you want to say there. How's the swiping, Nick? How's the new condo? I mean, what's happening here, bro?
You know, I have no complaints. I get paid a good amount of money to do a job that I really love, and I think the product is great, CBS Sports HQ. If you'll allow, shameless plug, you can watch me on Sportsline, which is our fantasy gambling show. So if you bet on games, you play fantasy, this is the show that you have to watch. Absolutely free. Tons of experts and me as the host, and I know what I'm talking about too. Weekdays, 6 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ. Saturdays leading into whatever the big games are, whether it be college football bowl games, NFL playoffs, college basketball on CBS, and then Sundays for the regular season NFL at noon, giving you all picks for games and then throughout the postseason as well. I'm loving my life right now. Loved my time in Florida, but I'm home now with family and friends. Like you said, unfortunately, and I think people kind of know, like, I love wrestling. I can't watch it that much because I'm working at nights, really, and Monday Night Football and all this. So this happens to me every year where I have to check out a little bit, not because I want to, but because the job kind of necessitates it. Once football's over, like the regular season's over, I'm locked in from Royal Rumble season basically through the end of SummerSlam. So looking forward to more appearances on the podcast. Yes. And yeah, I appreciate everything, and I have nothing but good things to say about the network. Love the network, and hope people check it out, and hope you like it. Again, on all your connected devices, CBS Sports HQ, just sports without the nonsense. Really good stuff.
You can find him on Instagram and Twitter, and slide into those DMs, ladies.
Oh man,
have there been any sliding on the in the Northeast? I know it's cold out. Maybe it's cold outside.
Like in the past half hour?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow. Maybe you set up a new consummation station in the new apartment.
See, I thought you were up at the wall up there in Stamford with all that snow and ice.
No, thank God, no snow. By the way, did you like the Game of Thrones line, Silver King's Landing, because he's got no balls? I thought that was decent. Anyway, no complaints from yours truly.
All right, we want to get, if you got a couple minutes, I'm sure the fans would love to hear your couple big picture opinions on things that have been going on. Nick, have you been following this Becky Lynch as Steve Austin 2.0 or Conor McGregor 2.0 or maybe Becky Lynch 2.0, what she's done with her character, what she's done with her career, arguably the biggest story in wrestling in 2018?
I've loved it, and I have been keeping up with it, and I did see, I had it on second screen while I was watching the Rams and Eagles on Sunday night, so I was watching, I did watch the pay-per-view or most of it. That triple threat ladder match was absolutely unbelievable, the TLC match. And I thought it was a great booking call to put Asuka over, and I love the Ronda Rousey inclusion at the end. I actually thought Charlotte was the star of the match, and it's kind of crazy. I texted a buddy about this, and this is, like, not meant to be, like, a sexist comment, like, wow, like, I can't believe women are doing this great stuff. It's just crazy to think that, like, and for maybe a little fans that are a little older, like, I'm in my mid-30s, 35, to think that if you had 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, the women not only are going to main event WrestleMania, but are far and away the best thing on the show, it would have been something that no one would have thought would have been possible. So it is kind of crazy to think that, wow, not only are, like, they're going to main event WrestleMania, but it's going to be the thing that we're most excited for. Like, this Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Ronda Rousey storyline that's going on right now is the thing that I am most into right now in WWE. It's been awesome.
I think you just nailed it. I mean, Adam and I mean, by the way, this year-end award show is going to be a thing that's going to happen. And Adam and I were starting to compile the categories, the nominees. And Adam, when you look at our nominees for Match of the Year, there's not only an insane amount of women's matches, they might all win. I mean, this has been ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately looking at it, and, you know, I'm not going to give it away, but, you know, I think we're going to do three finalists for each one, and there's a legitimate shot that all three finalists for WWE Match of the Year main roster are women. And really, and that's not just like entertainment.
That's crazy.
That's match quality too. And when you think about the fact that they actually occurred over different pay-per-views as well, spanning the course of the year, you know, it's just really impressive. But Nick nailed it. You know, a lot of things that we did say on the TLC show, and really those kind of progressed this week, which is good. It didn't just stop there. They're moving forward with it.
Nick, where do you think is Becky Lynch's ceiling? Can Can she be given the space in booking to actually become a, have like a CM Punk type run, actually become a thing that's just like almost non-scripted, that's next level? We always fear that they'll hold people back and water them down. Have we seen the best of Becky Lynch 2.0, or do you think this is only the beginning?
I think here's the thing that's going to hurt Becky Lynch, and they have to do one thing, like period, end of story. And they can have a match at WrestleMania, and they should, with Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. They have to be kept on separate shows. Because Becky Lynch, the man character, cannot be on the same show as Ronda Rousey, because Ronda Rousey is going to be the face of the company, and she's one. That's why, obviously, they got that big deal at Fox. So I think that's the big concern, right? Is that if Becky becomes almost too big and bigger than Rousey, it might actually be bad for WWE's business. So I think that's the one concern with Becky Lynch, is that Ronda's always going to have to be the star. Like, Becky can be the man and she can be great on SmackDown, but Raw, I feel like, is always going to be Ronda Rousey's show. And I think that's the only concern with Becky Lynch, but she's great.
And they have to do it along with keeping Charlotte in there and happy and important. And sometimes above them and sometimes below them. But they actually have three people in the women's division that they need to, you know, figure out the machinations with, up, down, and around.
And look, and you can throw Asuka in there, too. You could throw Asuka in there as well.
Very true.
Yes, that's true.
Nick, one topic we talk about a lot on the show, looking forward, looking ahead, is the reality that Fox paid a whole hell of a lot of money to bring SmackDown to national television live on Friday night starting in October of 2019. You know, the dreamer in me, the optimist, wants to believe that what this will create is we're not only entering the third boom period in our wrestling lifetime because of what's going on in the indies, the revolution, ad nauseum. But how about an in-house one, Nick? The idea that two competitors within the same company, NBC, which owns Raw, NBC Universal, USA Network, and Fox, which is going to own SmackDown. Do you foresee a future in which WWE is going to be the best it has been in many years, not just because of the competition from the revolution, but the idea that, like, look, if they're going to be on national television, they got to bring it.
Well, I actually am kind of, like, I gave that half-hearted answer before. That was kind of done on purpose. I am kind of enthused by, you know, I didn't think the segment was great, and I did watch it, the opening segment of... wasn't like anything like it was mind blowing, but the message was good, I think. And I kind of want to have a jury out type deal here and see what they have cooked up over the next couple months. I don't know if we can answer that question until we see how things develop, because it does feel like, at least maybe it's just in the storyline, but it does kind of feel like they know the product has really sucked and it's their fault. So I'm willing to give it a couple months now that they've kind of acknowledged it on the air, to kind of see where it goes. And I am actually, Brian, in your camp, kind of a dreamer at this point and a little cautiously optimistic.
All right. And when you said dreamer, you weren't talking about Tommy. Were you talking about this guy?
If you lose, I get to shave your head.
No.
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 We're making wrestling podcasts great again.
Yeah,
I'll give you one other thing, because I do have to do an NFL podcast coming up here. I am excited for Wrestle Kingdom, but doesn't it feel like there's like no hype around the event this year? Like last year, like we were all pumped for Okada and Naito, and of course Omega and Jericho. The Omega Tanahashi match is going to be like a million stars. It's going to be great. There's no hype around it. Like no one's talking about Wrestle Kingdom.
I agree with you. When Adam and I broke down last week when the card was finalized, it's an embarrassment of riches. The card is so damn good. But you're right. If they failed one thing revolution-wise, even with the advancements NJPW has made to try to get a bigger foothold in the U.S., they're still not grabbing U.S.-based wrestling fans to be aware of what's happening. You have to go out of your way to find it. It's not hitting you in the face on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever at this point.
Well, don't forget, last year it was all built around Jericho. So they got all those new subscribers, all that new interest for Jericho. Now Jericho's been there. Every time he shows up, he's basically doing the same thing. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's really good and entertaining.
It's very good, yeah.
But we've seen him do the same, like, dress up as someone else, attack someone with the clown face paint. You know, we've seen him do it 5 times now. He's going into a match that we're like, yeah, it's great, but it's not him against Kenny Omega. And this card, like you said, BC, it is stacked. It might be like NJPW's best individual card ever, and no one is talking about it. That goes to show everything you said is true.
Nick, what do you think, in closing here, because we got to let you go, about that March card or April card the night before WrestleMania 35 at the damn Garden, MSG, when Ring of Honor and NJPW joined forces for, you know, this giant card. And WWE has moved NXT TakeOver from Saturday to Friday so it doesn't have to compete against it. That's taking a knee right there, right? That's like, hey, there's 45 seconds to go in the half. We could throw the bomb or we could just take a knee and make sure we don't throw a pick.
I got to tell you, I haven't really thought about it to that extent. What I have thought about it as is less in a business thing, like from what WWE's perspective, and more from selfishly my perspective. It's pretty awesome because I'm going to be, and I'm going to go to every event. And I think we'll probably go as a group. And I don't know if I'll sit next to you, Bri, but maybe me and the Silver King can sit next to each other and have a beer and then talk a little bit.
You're going to need to get out of some CBS Sports HQ Final Four responsibilities for that. So best of luck, Nick.
We'll see. But Nick, that is a fair point. I do want to say publicly, because I said it on our podcast after our little, look, it was an unfortunate dust up a few months ago. It went too far, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, but not on my end, though.
Well, I know, and I didn't get a chance to say it to you on the air because I said it on the air. I didn't get a chance to say it to you. What the people don't know is we've patched things up behind the scenes. Obviously, you're on the show. I've made a couple appearances on CBS Sports HQ. We're, previewing big fights. You and I had the chance to work together. We were professional. I do want to say again, I don't know if you heard that episode. I'm sorry. Look, I went too far trying to kind of do a joke. It got serious. I meant what I said in that moment about the Jannetty and the Michaels, but look, in hindsight, look.
But you understand that, like, you meant what you said. That would be like me saying, like, the sky's red and saying that I mean it. Like, well, I'm obviously not Marty Jannetty.
I just want to be humble and say I was wrong. I was wrong to do that on the podcast. We should have done that after. And I was upset that you took Adam's side on something that to me was such a no-brainer. And I just thought I thought we were aligned. I guess you will, wrestling wise, and that was a moment where I was upset. All right, and I took it out the wrong way.
And I honestly thought you were an adult and not a child to get upset over like a worked thing on a podcast. Like I took Adam's side, like because I agreed with him, and B because I thought it would make for great audio. And you kind of, it was really weird how it turned out.
It did.
And like I appreciate, and Kirst, I'll always do business and I'll always be professional. And I have a lot of respect for you, Bri. So like that, what I was saying to start about like, you'll never be as good. Like
you're having fun with that. I get it. But I just want
you're very good. Right. But like, here's the thing now, right, buddy. I kind of meant what I said about the man who I am. And I don't really take crap like that. And you even just confirmed it and said that you meant it. So I'll come on the podcast and we can, hang out at WrestleMania this year and stuff as coworkers. Because I do have, honestly, a lot of respect for you as a talent. I think you are a tremendous talent, incredibly entertaining and smart and passionate and funny. You're a great coworker. We do great business together. But as far as outside of the ring or outside of this medium, this podcast, as we call it, not really interested. Because I may respect you as a worker,
but I
don't really respect you as a man anymore. Sorry. So that's just it. And that can be the end of it. And I wasn't going to bring it up. We were going to skate by it, but you want to make a half-assed apology to me on the air months after it happened. I mean, dude, give me a break. Come on.
It was the right
move. I'll still do your podcast, but I mean, come on.
It was kind of funny, like playing a little wrestling game to start the show. Like this little, it was kind of fun.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
Because I'm really good.
It was just fun having you back though. I apologize that happened on air. Shouldn't have. Just know that, we're going to keep working together at HQ. The fans love you. We want you back on the show, Nick. Okay. So
cool. So keep working together, but do me a favor, like stop texting me like, hey, like Raw was great last night. I don't really want to talk. Silver King, you can still text me, but I'm not really interested.
All right then. Did he hang up? Is he off?
He is off.
All right. Well, we had it. Like we said at the top, we're always real with the people, and some of that was real, some of that wasn't. Obviously, we had fun with you off the top of the show, but almost losing the show was real, and just so Nick knows that I know and that the people know, him trying to get his way into hosting behind the scenes also was very real. So just let that, we had fun with it. We did a Vince McMahon and took a real life angle and made it fun, but this whole joke of the Innes Costos thing, that's not really a joke, but as you can see, all right. So, this is already off the rails, but Adam, we're back. The state of combat is strong right now. We are back. Where do you want to go from here? What are we doing here?
Yeah. And if you guys don't think, I was legit teasing that for weeks. You guys should have, why the hell am I saying the phrase state of combat on this show 3 weeks in a row? If you guys, come on. There are plenty of Easter eggs. There are plenty of tweets. You go back and read them, you'll understand. But BC, we do have the business that we've chosen to get into. But before we do, a quick word from one of our friends of this program.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, we're back. And BC, you know the sweet sound I want. Hit me with the main event.
This is the main event!
All right, now we teased it obviously with Nick, but let's talk about it for real. Here's what went down this week in WWE. And we're going to start with Raw. You know, they promised us Vince McMahon coming in to shake things up on Monday night. And, you know, I'm going to take a beat from Nick. Because before we even start and get into it, I know you and I were both disappointed with that announcement, and we will talk about it. I think it is fair what he said, which is you can't expect everything to change immediately, and you also can't expect it to change right before the holiday when they're taping an episode. So while with the caveat that things may need time to shake out, Monday night, at least for me, the announcement they made, the lack of clarity in that announcement was a disappointment. What about you?
I'm right with you. And I've had a lot of people come on my timeline in response to my Raw recap this week on CBSSports.com and just be like, look, you got to give it time. What can you expect? I think that's enabling them. And I'm not saying I'm 100% salty. Sunday night, everything was great. And Monday and Tuesday, it's awful. No. Yes, I do think to a certain degree you need time. But if it's like wait through the Christmas holiday, then don't launch it before the Christmas holiday. Because here's ultimately the deal. When you promise Vince McMahon, you're promising a lot, especially coming off arguably the greatest pay-per-view of the year. So when he comes out to open Raw, it's like we're getting right into this. And then you get Steph, Trips, and Shane. And then they're a unified front. Adam, this is what you and I said off the air. If they would have followed that speech with anything but what happened. If they would have followed that speech with Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch, do you realize the roof would have exploded? We would have said, We would have said that a new era is starting, because that's what the tease was. The tease was that Sunday was so great that Raw certainly needs changes because it hasn't been great. So Vince is going to come back and shake it up. And what is the theme of that opening segment? Exactly that. We're going to shake it, flip it upside down. Hey, fans, you are the authority, all that cheesy stuff, right? So to it's anyone coming on my timeline and going, well, you got played because you thought that actually meant like a new era of major changes right away. Yeah, of course, because Raw had sucked for a while heading up to this. Of course I should have thought that was the case. Adam, we thought maybe we'd see the end of the brand split. We thought we'd see a lot of things. What we got was the worst pay-per-view match from the night before, completely recycled. And guys, that's unacceptable. I don't care that the rest of the Raw episode wasn't that bad. Maybe a C+, B-, like pretty serviceable. A couple segments from Rousey to Ambrose that I liked the final hour, liked a lot of it. But to come out making those type of promises and to then do the same exact thing from Sunday night with Baron Corbin, who already got his ass kicked by 6 guys and got their finishers the night before. And you're pandering to the live crowd by doing that again. And even though Tuesday's episode of SmackDown was fine, I've got a fear right now.
It was fine?
Fine.
It was great.
Tuesday night of episode of SmackDown was, well, that match, it was great.
We'll get to it.
But here's my problem potentially with this. And tell me if I'm getting a little too nervous. Tell me if I'm not hearing Jimmy like I should. What has been the problem with WWE since SummerSlam, right? SmackDown, no problem at all. It's had a different feel and vibe. Raw and the pay-per-views for the most part, not counting Evolution, have had, and not counting Survivor Series, have had a problem. They've under-delivered. And it's because of Vince's booking style. It's because of Vince's sort of stubbornness. We hear every week there's a really bad Raw that once again breaks the lowest ratings record. We hear on Meltzer's Rag that Vince rewrote it at the last minute. So Vince is the problem. Steph not being on TV regularly, Trips not being on TV regularly is the problem. If their solution is to come back and be themselves and say, okay, we're getting rid of Angle, we're getting rid of Corbin, we're getting rid of Paige. It's going to be us now. And they are themselves. That's great. But you know who they are when I say themselves? Heels. Interesting characters. Instead, they came back as pandering babyfaces who, yes, they blame themselves to a degree, but in storyline, they blamed Corbin when, hey, kayfabe only for a second, Steph, you appointed Corbin. You gave him the power and then you disappeared. It's your fault. So you don't just get to kick his ass for half the show and then we're like, oh, wow, Raw's back. So my fear, Adam, by seeing Vince on Tuesday night in that segment with The Miz, not act like Vince, but act like any other GM ever, right? The dialogue he delivered was like power to the people. It was like any other GM ever. If Vince is on the screen, I need Vince. So I'm a little nervous that Vince said this. Wow, Raw's got really bad ratings. Wow, we have a problem. What are we going to do to change it? All right, we'll put ourselves on TV, and now I'm going to go over on Tuesday nights and mess with that show a little bit. No, Vince, Tuesday night does not need touching by you or Shane or anybody. Get off the damn screen. I'm a little nervous in that regard. Monday's opening segment was a failure. What's your thoughts?
First of all, you just said so many things.
I did.
I don't even know where to start. I'll start with this. You are dead wrong about the Ms. Vince McMahon segment. That was classic Vince McMahon. It was fantastic. It was hysterical. That was great. And it was awesome to see Vince just randomly show up on a SmackDown. So I'm taking that out of the equation here. What you nailed was Monday night. You are 1,000% correct. What they're trying to do is turn a shoot into a work. Okay, usually it goes the other way. All right? They're trying to make us believe that all the issues laid on the hands of Corbin, and not Paige because they praised Paige on Tuesday, but it's all Corbin's fault and all this bad booking. Yeah, they took some responsibility, like you said, but they're also going to be the ones to fix it. And you nailed the biggest issue, which was that the very first thing they did was repetition. And the biggest issue with Raw has been repetition. They could have done, like you said, anything else with that segment. What they should have done is said, you know what? No more absentee champions. We're stripping the title off Brock Lesnar, and we're going to hold a tournament to determine the new Universal Champion. It will be decided at Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman will be in that match, and the tournament will determine his competitor, okay? That's all they had to do. If they wanted to do the Corbin segment again, all they needed to do was send out Heath Slater and have Rhino again. Why aren't they paying off the Rhino storyline? He's not fired in real life. You have Rhino come in, gore him, Heath Slater gets over on him, they pin him. You don't need Kurt Angle again. You don't need Bobby Roode. You don't need the tag team champions there. So you're right, all repetitive. But the biggest issue with all of this is what they're trying to say is, we recognize that we are not doing things that you, the audience, wants. And we're going to give you the authority, right? So what they have done in these two shows on Monday and Tuesday is they completely, in every way, pandered to the IWC. What we want as fans, as smarks, if you want to call us that, is we just want to see that they're listening and that they know to put little things in here and there. For example, we want Andrade Cien Almas on TV. We want him wrestling in major matches. We want him to get a push. We want the same thing with Finn Balor. We want the guys that we like to be on TV. We want the Good Brothers on TV. We want Sanity. We want all these guys. What you don't need to do is put them all on TV in 1 week. They basically just said, we realize that all these dudes that you like and women haven't been on. So we're going to put all of them on in these 5 hours this 1 week to make sure you get to see them so that you know we haven't forgotten and that we're listening to you. All they needed to do was work them into storylines here and there over the next few weeks on the way to Royal Rumble. Instead, they're just doing it all at once, being like, yeah, we screwed up. Here's everyone that hasn't been on TV and everyone we haven't given a push that our faces, we're going to push them because you like them. It's almost, they've gone overboard. They've gone the complete other direction where we still want the normal WWE storylines, but we want the people we like worked in. Now they're like, well, kind of forget all that. We're just going to give you everything we want.
Yeah, we
come
want
watch our
better storylines. That's what we want. I mean, like, it's fine to say automatic title rematches are antiquated, but it's also kind of antiquated to say, oh, you want an opportunity? You're going to have to earn it, and your match starts right now. And you know what I hated was They're doing what we don't like, interrupting that Corbin match to start Raw 5 times and each time adding a stipulation. And basically it became a Lucha House Party Rules match by the end of it, which is exactly what we don't want. And I think my biggest point that I nailed is, why are they all baby faces? I get you want right. to come out and say, look, we screwed up. It's going to be different now. But you don't get to then be a babyface now and have Trips come out and get a big chair. Shane come out and get a big chair. No, you know what should have happened? Ronda Rousey should have come out and went face-to-face with Steph. And Steph should have acted like a heel, and we should have had that moment, right?
Ronda Rousey should have come out, gone face-to-face with Vince and slapped him across the face.
Yes.
Anything else could have happened. Literally, like, when it was Vince in the ring and Steph and Trips came out, I messaged you. I go, oh, my God, they're going to do it. I thought there was going to be a ceremonial passing of the torch from Vince to Triple H. That's what I thought. Then Shane came out, and I go, same shit. Like, you just knew as soon as Shane came out, this is going to go off the rails. But BC, like, that's the key. They could have done anything else after that announcement, which wasn't – it wasn't just that the Corbin thing was bad. The announcement wasn't clear. It was all just, yeah, we're going to do things better. We're going to listen to you. And – we don't necessarily know exactly what that's going to be, but you're going to see new people and you're going to see new characters and just trust us. It'll be good.
We see new
rather
people,
than tell us that, do something to show us that.
I don't know. I guess my point is, like, am I happy that Daniel Bryan's WWE champion and he's a heel? Yes. Am I happy that Saddam Ali got called up? Saddam Ali. I'm in boxing in my head.
Saddam Mustafa Ali.
He's a boxer. He fought on Saturday. Mustafa Ali got called up. Yes. Like, I'm happy for these little things, but I need my change isn't okay. My biggest problem as a fan is not which wrestlers you're using. It's
correct.
How you're using them. So please, WWE, if you change that, we are going to have a hot fire run to WrestleMania. And look, I know the WrestleMania run typically is really good anyway. You see the best promos. You see a lot of attention to detail in building the feuds. It's just if you're going to put those four people out there, the four kings, the four people of royalty, the family, the McMahon family, I'm sorry, as much as you may have enjoyed the Miz-Vince moment on Tuesday night, it's watering down Vince in my eyes. Vince needs to be who he is, dude.
You're so freaking wrong.
He's a heel. He needs to be a heel figure. He's not somebody that you're going to reason with to try to get a match. I don't want a dressing room that says...
First of all, Vince hasn't been a heel in years.
Yeah, he has.
He has
a heel opposite.
He was a face with KO. And he's been a face ever since then and before that, too.
No, he was a heel opposite Roman Reigns. He was a heel.
I don't know if I'd call that a heel.
Are you kidding me? He got arrested in each. No, he was certainly a heel. I'm not.
Roman was the one getting booed. But OK, point being, you're correct. And you stated it better than I did. It's not the people that we want to that they're missing. It's the storylines we want to be booked better. And paid off. We want what they do in NXT. And throwing the Good Brothers Insanity just into a tag team segment, while it was entertaining,
yeah,
don't get me wrong.
I did love it.
And I love the Good Brothers promo, too, being like, hey, we haven't been on TV for 4 months. That's changing right now.
Absolutely.
Great. You didn't need Sanity there because you had the Good Brothers. Have the Good Brothers either pin the Usos or lose close, but at least they're back on TV and now they're going to fight for the titles again. So it's the storylines and the booking that we want more intelligence and more time put in to tell good stories and pay those stories off than it is just shoving guys that we like and women that we like onto TV.
Yeah.
And they did the latter on Monday and Tuesday.
Now, how they closed Monday night, and we can get into it in a larger sense, but just for the sake of the concept, they closed Monday night by giving the last hour to the women in a series of matches that mattered, that there was a prize at the end. You know I'm always down for that, so that's great. What I would like to, if they really care and solicit my opinion, I'd like them getting away from, and the Good Brothers match is a perfect example, a match that you're kind of excited to see, and then you're enjoying it, and then it has to end in a smash just because that's what we do now. Can we have, like, run-ins matter again, right? I mean, can we have it, like, where it's not – now you're trained every week to expect a run-in on every televised match because you know that they ultimately want to protect the booking on both sides and do 50-50. Maybe we can get outside of that as well. But, look, Raw didn't suck. SmackDown didn't suck. I'm not here to completely drop bombs on them. We're just coming off of a Sunday night card that was amazing. Check out our instant analysis show if you haven't yet, breaking that hole down, the TLC show. Things are looking forward. They're just going to have to keep winning me over on this idea that they do actually care And I'm very interested to see how they strategically position. Because if the bottom line is we get those four kings on TV more often, that's going to be a good thing. Every time Trips comes back, the rent gets raised. I just want the segments to matter. I don't want Vince. When Vince is on TV, it should be special. I want it to matter. If you just need him to talk somebody into a match, get Vicky Guerrero for me. That's all I'm saying. Let's move on.
I agree with that. And I don't necessarily want to see, it was cool to see Vince on SmackDown, but we do not need to see Vince's face every single week. What I would prefer to see is, I don't mind Triple H showing his face on SmackDown and, you know, setting up a match or doing something like that. But the follow through here, at least when it comes to SmackDown, and we'll go on, there's a lot more to talk about. But in terms of SmackDown, I personally believe that Paige has done in the role of general manager, non-kayfabe, but meaning just enjoyment on television, one of the better GM jobs that we've seen from WWE in quite some time. And what they basically said Tuesday night at the start of the show, the very open, Shane raised her hand, said Paige has done a great job as GM. The entire roster cheered for her. She will not be GM anymore, but she's not going anywhere. Her responsibilities are just going to change. So what I'm wondering is, if they're not going to have GMs, okay, I'm okay with that. That's a trite thing of wrestling. What the hell is Paige going to do? Is she going to move into a commentary role?
Are they going to start a women's show and she'll be the GM of that? I don't know, but you're right. That seemed like it was a move that didn't necessarily need to happen, right?
There's no reason to get rid of her.
I don't even think you need to get rid of Angle, you know, or you could bring in Jeff Jarrett. Or like, look, that's a role for a non-wrestler that seems to make a lot of sense. You get a lot of cheap pops, you know, their acting skills come into play in these backstage segments. It's going to be interesting to see what this means. Are we going to see the four McMahons, the Helmsley McMahons? That sounds so outdated to say Helmsley McMahon, because it is, but it just sounds so like three decades ago.
Wasn't it the McMahon-Helmsley era?
Yes. Are we going to see them in very important WrestleMania feuds? Like, is this going to lead to something? What happened last night, right? Here's the thing. Like, they're so stubborn. I don't just trust that they sat down and said, look, the ratings suck. The fans are not happy. Let's fix this. I think it's more like, let's use this, right?
So That's exactly correct.
I'm trying to figure out what angle this is, and it'll be fun getting there, of course, because say what we will, the four McMahons, They got it, man. They still got it. They're great, right? They're acting. Everything about them is amazing. Their presence. So let's do something with it.
And you can give credit to all of them, but the truth is, it's Vince. And Vince on TV, he wasn't great on Raw. He was great on SmackDown. And not just in the backstage segment with Miz, which I cannot believe you didn't like, but out there with Charlotte and Becky and Naomi and Asuka, he was funny there too. Vince, there's just no one in the history of wrestling that ever has been like him, and no one that ever will be like him. That's how special and important he is. But it was just great. The key, though, is we don't need to see all of them every week. I think you include them when it's important, but what you said is correct, BC. They're basically humoring us, is what it feels like. It doesn't feel like they're actually listening, because if they were actually listening, you would do what I suggested and strip Brock of the title, do a tournament like that. You would bring Pyro back. You would have had Pyro to open the show.
I love Silver King. If they were actually listening, they would take all my ideas and use them.
Well, not all of my ideas, man. Fans want Pyro. They want camera angles like we have in NXT, and camera production, I should say, like we have in NXT and every other wrestling show on the planet, and not with Kevin Dunn jerking seizure-inducing motions where every time someone throws a punch, the camera zooms in and out like you're going to, you know, fall on the floor
thing?
And convulse.
Is that a Kerwin thing or a Kevin Dunn thing?
It's a Kevin Dunn thing. So if they were actually listening, those are things they would have done. They would have opened Raw with Pyro and fans would have been like, holy crap, they are listening.
Yeah, you're
right. But they're hearing. You know what? They're not listening, BC. They're hearing us. And that's the difference. All right.
I can hear Jimmy.
I got a question for you.
What? What do you got, Vince?
Is Paul Bearer telling the truth when he says that your mother was a whore?
See, that's the Vince I need. Okay, just close that. That's the Vince I need. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There's a lot more to discuss, and a lot of it has to do with this quote-unquote announcement and things that went down on Monday and Tuesday, but we'll talk about the additions that are coming in from NXT, and I'll read them off, and then we'll discuss them. So Heavy Machinery coming in as a tag team. Dozer, that's awesome.
Yes.
Nikki Cross coming in. Lacey Evans. Lars Sullivan, which we already knew about. And EC3. So out of this group, I have two questions. One, who is the standout for you? And two, what do you think of the group as a whole?
The group surprised me. I wouldn't have guessed these were the ones that would have gotten chosen. Like, I certainly see the comedic potential in Heavy Machinery. I love me Samoa Dostosevich. Like, love it. I believe Vince could take a guy like Otis and make him into a Santino. You know what I mean? Like, and do something that matters, like, comedically. I'm surprised that they're called up right now. Same thing with Lacey Evans, who certainly has a main roster body, and I don't necessarily mean, but I do kind of mean, but certainly is just muscular, has a character that looks the part, has the confidence and swagger. Same thing with EC3. I thought both of them would have gone through the system a little more, had times with the title in NXT. Interesting that they got called up. I think Lars Sullivan could have an impact right away, and then he'll be a watered-down giant. But look, on a whole, I'm really surprised by this, Adam, that they chose these specific individuals. I would have thought if it was going to happen, it would be Undisputed Era as a unit. It would be Alistair or Velveteen. There's a lot of guesses we could have put out there. Ricochet. Ricochet's so great, it could go to the main roster tomorrow and be in a major feud. These were people that are now going to be brought in as bodies, you would think. They're not going to get monster pushes, you can't imagine, unless somebody like Lars is used as muscle for a big-time superstar. But I can't say I would have guessed any of these. You?
If I was asked to project who they would have brought up, I may have gotten, not counting Lars Sullivan, so let's say one, there's four others, I may have gotten three of the four. So I was not surprised. And more importantly, I think they nailed it. Because while we do want Undisputed Era up there, yes, they're the tag team champions. While we do want Ricochet up there, yes, he's the North American champion. While we do want Gargano up on the main roster, he still has business with Ciampa. And while we do want Black up there, he has a takeover.
Don't speak for all of us. You name some NXT people there that I don't necessarily want on the main roster because they're so perfect.
I'll say change we to I, okay? Doesn't matter. My point, I'm speaking metaphorical we, the royal we. And while I would love Aleister Black on the main roster, he has a title match at TakeOver Phoenix. So they brought up people who fit two categories. One, did not have current storylines where they were in the title picture. And two, perhaps more importantly, are guys and girls that will work on the main roster. These are people closer to Elias than they are Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's fair.
And you've seen what they've done with Elias. EC3 has that potential. I would love to see EC3 on SmackDown. He'd be perfect because you don't want him on the Raw brand with Elias and Bobby Roode. He has that same type of build and in-ring style, right? Nikki Cross, I told you on the instant analysis, I hope we get Asuka Nikki Cross for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania. That's a hell of a match. Lacey Evans is made for the main roster.
That's a Vince pick. Perfect addition. Tell me, that has to be a Vince pick. Like, she is perfect for Vince. By the way, Vince, Vince no longer coloring his hair brown. He's letting it go gray.
No, it's going. Yeah,
that seems a big move because it was weird that Shane was not coloring his hair and Shane had gray hair and Vince didn't. But that's, you know how much he hates looking old. That's a big move for him.
Shane really sweats a lot, by the way. I don't want to gloss over that. Lacey Evans is made for the main roster, made for Vince McMahon, made for Monday Night Raw. And Heavy Machinery, I would have liked them to stay in NXT, get a title run. Same with Street Profits that are over in Evolve now as the Evolve champions. So it's the tag team division there is a little bit strange. But the truth is they've been there long enough. They're entertaining as hell. I think they finally fully come into their own as characters. And I think they could really spice up the Raw tag team division. So what I'm looking at is five people, and we'll talk about the team as a single, that I think will totally work on the main roster and are really smart call-ups. In fact, the only one I think who probably won't work is Lars Sullivan. And that's the one that's been announced for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's interesting. You got to pair him with somebody who matters, and you have to let him not look bad. Remember how good they used Braun Strowman in the Wyatt family? He never was pinned, and he used to do that awesome choke move where he just, he could lift anybody and put him out. I'd like to see Lars get that kind of treatment. Was it our colleague Jack Crosby who slacked me and said there's some rumors going around that Daniel Bryan could end up with Lars as his muscle? And the first thing I said to that was brilliant. Personally, I'm down with that.
Yeah, it's interesting if Lars doesn't have to talk. The key is you don't want Lars to talk.
No.
So however they succeed in doing that is fine with me. But there is more to talk about. They announced also on Raw, in addition to the new faces, which are the NXT, there's a bunch of returning faces. And for Raw, they haven't been on TV for a while. On SmackDown, we did see them. We'll talk about SmackDown in a minute. But they announced the forthcoming returns of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And I got to be honest, when I saw those vignettes, I was like, oh, yeah, Sami Zayn exists. And then, oh, yeah, Kevin Owens exists. Wow. That was the range of emotions for me. I'm excited to see Kevin Owens back. Business picks up when he's on TV. He's great on the mic. He can carry storylines. He can work in the mid-card and the main event. But Sami Zayn, for me, he's great in the ring. I don't know that I need him.
Wow.
What about you?
The only thing I could say to that is...
Screw you! Screw you and your family!
Wow, all right, not your family, but you personally. Dude, Sami Zayn is a heel, got reborn. He's amazing. Do you not remember the run opposite KO against both Styles and Shane? Love, love, love. I think he's perfect for Raw. I think he's a guy who does Raw, things on Raw that we want and need on the microphone. Love.
Do you remember the feud before he left?
Yeah, well, anyone feuding with Lashley is going to look bad. Let's be
I'm
right.
just saying I think that kind of – that maybe it's that. Maybe that screwed it for me.
You got a bad taste in your mouth. Wash that out, all right? Wash it out.
I am sick of boogers and bathroom humor and semen.
So am I. Let's keep moving.
Now, to that same end on SmackDown, they didn't announce these people as returning. They just had them all return at once. Andrade Cien Almas in the main event. Let's save that briefly. The Good Brothers and Sanity. What did you think of that Good Brothers Sanity tag team segment?
I didn't need a smash finish, but I loved everything about it. It was so good to see the Good Brothers, not just because I absolutely love them, and you should, and I'm sure you do, and anybody listening to the show has to realize how damn great they are and can be if they got the right push.
Absolutely.
You're damn right. They looked great. They worked great. Man, it's almost like if you tell me you can grab two people off the roster and send them to Japan tomorrow. I'm sending those two because I feel like they've never been properly used right. I mean, it's been a long ass time. Really, it has.
4 months since they were on, just since they were on TV.
It just makes no sense to me. I remember at SummerSlam in Brooklyn, they did like a .com exclusive segment where they were bellhops outside the hotel. And it's like, that's all we're using them for. All right.
And by the way, our interview with them from WrestleMania weekend, I think, was the best one we did.
Oh, yeah. They're great. They're fantastic. Great to see them back. I loved seeing Sanity back too. Okay. You know what? I don't like smash finishes in that case. I got excited about that tag team division when I saw that happen. And look, that's been a tag team division that's pretty much dominated by the Bar, New Day, and the Usos, right? They're on SmackDown, right?
The biggest mistake, I've been saying this for weeks, though, was moving Bar, the best team on Raw, to SmackDown and not giving them anyone back. And then they added Good Brothers to be with AJ Styles, and they added Sanity with the Superstar Shakeup from NXT. It's just there's too much. There's no reason those five teams should all be on one show. When that shakeup happens after WrestleMania, they got to reorganize the tag team division because that's way too much talent. The Good Brothers should be in, you know, title matches or like the next step in the tag team division every single week.
Why can't we have the club? Remember we used to have the club in 2016? Why can't that just be a regular thing? I don't think it waters down AJ. I think it helps him. I think it helps him a lot. Let's keep the club, please. Thank you. I got a cough. Hold on. All right, keep the show moving. Let's do it.
That's too much milk and magnesia for BC. All right, we'll talk about the SmackDown main event because that's really the remaining piece. You know what? I'm going to hold that because I have one more thing for you before we talk about the SmackDown main event because I really want to, I do want to spend time and get into that. Your boy, and it is your boy, Tyler Breeze, got an Intercontinental Championship match on Raw. And that, by the way, is 1 week after a taped North American Championship match on NXT, where he was a surprise challenger for Ricochet. You are getting an overdose of Prince Pretty, BC.
Dude,
what did you
I'm
think about those two matches?
Massive from that. Loved it. I think that you need to, like, I don't know if we have the time or the energy to necessarily put you on trial here, but Silver King, you need to take back something that you've said many times, that somehow Breeze was the Jannetty of the damn fashion guys. What was their tag team called? Breezango?
Fashion Police, but I never called them that.
You've called them that many times, and there's people that listen to our show that can find the hedge there and
try
find
it.
That.
I haven't.
You called him that.
I've said
many
negative
times.
Things about Tyler Breeze, but I never called him the Jannetty of
you
the fashion.
You called
police.
Him the Jannetty of the fashion police many times.
Makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So my point on this is Prince Pretty reminded everybody. If he didn't already, the last time that we did Pay-Per-View Rewind and we did that great Fatal 4-Way in NXT from a few years ago, the guy can work. And he's got a great gimmick. but he can work, and he shouldn't be putting balloons in his chest, jobbing out to Nikki Bella like he did ahead of a Mania 2 years ago, and he shouldn't be off TV like he normally is. I mean, what else do we have to say? Awesome. That NXT main event from last week, if you have not watched Tyler Breeze versus Ricochet, go back. Please, Trips, do that more. What do we say every single time we interview Trips? Well, have you ever thought about taking main roster guys who are not being used and sending them to NXT? And what does he say every single time? Oh, yeah, it's something we're talking about. And then it never happens. It happened, and it ruled. Guys, Breeze is great. Thank you.
But also, when we're talking about that, we're not saying for a one-off match, although that was nice. We're talking about, like, bring them back to NXT and put them in storylines and utilize them, right? So, look, I don't disagree that he is talented in the ring. I don't disagree that he has a good gimmick, and he can speak. But I feel like you completely overrate him as you think this guy should be one of the top guys, maybe not in WWE, but at least in the mid-card.
I don't think
he should be one of the top guys in the mid-card.
Do you remember?
I think he's a player.
Do you remember when he got called up? And you know how, like I say, always say, Vince will give you like a week or 2 weeks to matter.
Yes,
and then
he
gets
bored.
He
gave him a segment, didn't they?
Do you remember that? He didn't get a segment, but he was in an IC title feud, I believe, with Ziggler. And he had Summer Rae as his manager, and he would have that little area on the side of the ring with the chairs and the candy dish. And guess what?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. He was great. And then he went down to Jobber. And I know that they reinvented him comedically with the Fashion Police. And by the way, we loved it at its peak.
We did.
We should have.
At the beginning. Yep.
But
yep.
He became a joke. He became R-Truth. And I love R-Truth. And there's nothing wrong with the R-Truth role. But even R-Truth used to be allowed to wrestle against John Cena in major feuds. Breeze could be a guy. Maybe he looks too much like Dolph Ziggler, who looks too much like Shawn Michaels, and it becomes you're a second rate of a second rate.
Then he shouldn't be on Raw, and he should be on SmackDown, where he's not in the exact same building as the guy he looks like. Like, this is their biggest – they moved Fashion Police off of SmackDown to Raw and switched them with Barr. Like, that was some, even trade. That's the issue. They really screwed things up with the superstar shakeup of the tag team division. But my issue is they've underutilized him. Yes, they have. I just don't think his ceiling is as high as you do. They've also underutilized – Johnny Curtis, who is Fandango, who's out and he's injured, and hopefully he comes back. That guy needs to come back with a different gimmick. Like, when these guys leave and come back, reinvent them like you used to back in the day. That's when WWE was successful. That's when it really worked, when they said, this isn't really working. We're going to go back to the drawing board. That's why guys should go back to NXT and get reinvented and get opportunities. That's what they need to start doing. Okay, now let's talk about the main event of SmackDown, BC, because again, I felt it was part pandering to us and people like us, but also fantastic at the same time. So I can't criticize them too much. Not only did we see Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles in the main event coming out of their, basically a 4.75-star match at TLC. We saw the return to television of Andrade Cien Almas, one of the top five workers in the company. And we learned that Mustafa Ali, he ain't going to win the Cruiserweight Championship because he is now a permanent member of the main roster. And on SmackDown Live, and not only is he a permanent member of the main roster, not only was he in the main event of SmackDown, the dude pinned Daniel Bryan clean after hitting his 054 finisher. What do you think of that?
Oh, man, I felt that. You know how Daniel Bryan's always say, feel that? Look, that was a great moment, really fun match. I love that they're taking him seriously. Like, who would have ever bet money that Mustafa, don't call me Saddam Ali, would get, and I mean Saddam Ali the boxer, not anything else, would get called up as who he is and would become not as part of a tag team, not as a sidekick, not as, hey, check out this cruiserweight guy who does flips, but as a real player and inserted into these type of matches, and he lives the part, and his thing that he stole from DJZ of walking in with that mask with the lights rules. And they actually had him go shirtless this time, which he didn't do in 205 Live. I cannot believe it. I also cannot believe you just said Almas was a top five worker in the company. And I almost don't want to bring that up because I love Almas. But top five, you mean that?
Brian, on the main roster?
Yeah. Well, what are you saying? On the main roster? Is that what you're saying?
Male. Rollins, Styles, Brian. Give me two more that are better than Almas.
No, Almas is a better worker than Brian. Come on.
Okay, fine. So give me
All right,
so
you're at.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong if you're going to make an issue with it.
We're trying to figure out who's a better worker than CN Almas. Seth Rollins, yes. Dolph Ziggler, yes.
No.
What?
No.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
AJ Styles.
I love Dolph Ziggler. Not Dolph Ziggler, no.
AJ Styles.
Yes, that's two, and there's three more that you need to name to prove he's not a
brother,
top five.
And I'm just getting started. Finn Balor.
Equal.
Four. But, that's
let's put him
four.
There. That's three.
And what is main roster? I guess 205 is main roster for you.
I'm talking about Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, here we go. Don't hedge this. Don't you dare hedge this.
Main roster, Brian. Come on.
Mustafa Ali.
No.
Yes.
Equal ish.
TJP.
Not main
Buddy
roster.
Murphy.
You're struggling. Okay.
I'm not struggling. I'm just getting warmed up,
Brian,
bro. I love me some Almas.
Andrade Cien Almas is a top five male worker on the main
Big
roster.
Big E? No, I'm serious. Dude, Big E can work, dude.
He's better than Almas.
Yes.
You're high. All right. One other thing to talk about from these main shows. Not even talk about, but Revival became number one contenders on Raw to the SmackDown tag team titles. For me, that was just, again, a pandering to, oh, why aren't you pushing the Revival? So they pushed the Revival. You agree?
Yeah, they've kind of ruined the Revival. I feel like every time I see the Revival, I think of them unnecessarily taking everyone's finisher at Raw 25 in a segment that was so lack of creative, and it was just really, really bad.
There were so many other people that could have taken those finishers. It didn't make sense that it was necessarily them. It was weird. Development that didn't fit into this changes storyline that we're really talking about here in the main event. But the only other thing that happened that was a development was they ended Raw with that women's gauntlet match. It was like 45 minutes. And I think out of the five or so matches that were part of it, I don't know what that number counts up to. Maybe it was six. There were only really two that stood out to me. One of them being the end, Sasha Banks against Natalya. With Natalya winning and becoming the number one contender to face Ronda Rousey next week in a taped Christmas edition of SmackDown. I have not watched it. I'm going to go ahead and assume Rousey retains the title.
When is it taped? When is
it? It was taped Monday, so they were in California. So they taped show one from 5 to 8 and show two from like 8 to 10.
When you mean show two, you mean regular Raw for show two?
Raw for next week, yes.
And what about SmackDown? Is that on Christmas?
They did it Tuesday night also. They did the exact same thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, next week both shows are taped.
All right, can I just pause you for 1 second? Chad Gable's a better worker than Almas. It's close.
Mm-hmm. Close.
Sam Zayn is a better worker than Almas.
No, he's not.
Okay, I just wanted you to know that. I stand by Big E being a better worker. Some people think Jeff Hardy is. I'm not one of those people. But
let's make this easy, because Jeff Hardy at 40. Come on. I'll put a poll on our Twitter account, which is now at State of Combat. By the way, I'll put a poll. It'll be very simple. Yes or no, is Andrade Cien Almas a top five main roster worker? You guys can answer.
It's one of those things where I love the man, but top five is a very tight circle.
Brian, he's incredible. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
He's great, but you just can't like just induct him and be like, oh, yeah, he's top five. I mean, Roman Reigns might be a better worker in big matches than him. I mean, it's close. Okay. So what I'm saying, it's close. Lindsay Dorado. No, just kidding. Okay, let's move on. Women.
You would have had a case with Grand Metalik, not Lindsay Dorado. Go ahead.
Lindsay can you're lucky that you hedged the bet and you took the cruiserweights out. That's where you see that was an in the moment.
There's no
hedge,
man. They're not main roster. When I said Mustafa Ali got called up to the main roster,
okay,
that's what they said on TV. Okay,
true or false?
It's not a hedge.
When you made the ballot for our award show, you separated match of the year between WWE main roster, NXT.
There's nowhere else to put 205 Live matches.
Everywhere else.
I wasn't going to do 205 Live Match of the Year.
Okay, well, you put him on the main roster,
could.
So I'm just telling you what you did, all right?
Okay.
I mean, people know about the hedge. I call out mid-hedge, and then we still get hashtag
SilverKing
getting hedge.
So, you know what? Almost every tweet I got during this period of 48 hours, SilverKing doesn't hedge, SilverKing didn't hedge. They're on my side, buddy.
Dude, I haven't seen you print out the
tweets. I'm the baby face. You don't realize that.
Like the SilverKing says... If you didn't print out the tweets, They didn't happen according to the Silver King.
What's crazy is you don't. But you're still not understanding, and we're not working you. This is just real. There was a double turn the night of SummerSlam, and you seem to not understand
because there was one man who had the guts to lose friendships and lose viewership to stand up for what really happened in those bed sheets. By the way,
keep telling yourself that. All right, the women. What do you think about that Sasha Natalya finish? And Natalya now being the number one contender against Rousey.
I gotta say, I loved everything about it. I really like that they committed an hour to the women. And I don't typically like gauntlet matches, but you know what? I was pretty damn entertained by them. I thought the matches were pretty well handled. I thought cashing in this Natalya thing was a good idea for a holiday show. There's a connection there with their storyline in real life. Training partners, you know, friends and all that. The only thing I didn't like is they really set you up at the end of that episode to have Natalya turn on her. In fact, they did a hug and a handshake, and then they did a long stare, and then they did another handshake, and then they did a long stare, and then they did a hug, and they never turned. And I have to ask you this, Adam. Why would they not turn in that spot? Because that could have sent us home really happy with Raw, where we've been like, all right, you know, Vince segment kind of sucked, but you know what, man? Wow, now I got to see this. If they would have turned that, I actually would have said, now on Christmas Eve, where I don't know, I'm going to be with my kids, my wife, my relatives, whatever, we're going to be drinking the eggnog, having the Chinese Christmas grab bag game. I don't know why you have to call it Chinese grab bag. It's probably outdated. It's probably racist to say that.
I've never even heard of that term. Go ahead.
Some people call it the white elephant.
Yeah, white elephant. Okay.
All right, I never call it the white elephant. It's Chinese grab bag. But again, it's 2018. We can't say, we shouldn't say stuff like that. We not only can't,
we shouldn't.
Yeah, that
doesn't sound like it's a good term. Yeah,
it's a bad term. It's bad. Yeah. Take it back. So my point on that is, now I really want to see that. I would really want to see that match if Natalya finally turned. And by the way, they've set up teases from the beginning that she would turn. Why wouldn't she turn here?
Well, because they were going to, it seems like they were going to turn her heel prior to Neidhart passing away, Jim, the Anvil. And it seems like they wanted to keep her face through that, do the feud with Riot, and go from there. But they didn't even need to do a turn. All they needed to do was, instead of Rousey hugging her 15 times and shaking her hand and all that stuff, Rousey should have come out like semi-smiling, staring her down. Natalya reaches out her hand, and Rousey like looks at it, smacks it away. She doesn't have to turn on her. They're still friends. You can keep them friends. She should have smacked it away. And then Natalya like grabs her, like, wait, what the hell are you doing? Rousey pushes her and like points to her title and walks out. That's all you have to do. Create a little bit of juice. Instead, it's like lovey-dovey, they're best friends. Now, maybe something will happen in that match. Maybe Natalya comes close to winning. Rousey does something, breaks her arm. You know, maybe there's something there that they're planning. I don't know. I didn't read the spoilers. My guess, it's the Christmas episode. They're probably not going to do that. So the match, the gauntlet match as a whole, if you heard the commentary, I got to be honest, it was boring. There were two, like I said, two out of the six or five or however many individual matches inside of there that were really interesting. I think it was Ember, Moon, Mickey, James, and then Sasha Banks, Natalya. And normally at the end, I would say, you have Sasha Banks come out last and you have her lose to Natalya. Like, are you kidding me? You're really burying Sasha Banks. But it's very clear that they're doing this women's tag team title thing. So you can't have Sasha beat Natalya, lose to Rousey. You can't. It's not going to work. So I'm okay in this case with Banks losing and Bayley. At least they gave Bayley a reason to lose. She hurt her leg, and she won a couple. I would have rather them put Banks earlier in the gauntlet.
Let's be honest here. They're doing a lot of great things with the women. This final hour on Raw this week, great. Women are in the match of the year. And by the way, I know we're doing male and female wrestler of the year, but you can certainly make a case that both Becky and Ronda should be considered, if not have a shot at being legitimate wrestler of the year.
We can have that conversation.
The point of me saying all that is they're doing a lot right with women, from the Evolution pay-per-view, not counting Saudi Arabia, through all the firsts we saw this year. It may be so. Where I'm going with this is this: it may be time to clean out some of the old in that division. And what I mean is, nobody's popping anymore. When Alicia Fox, Mickie James, and even though I don't allow any Tamina Snuka slander on my timeline, when Tamina comes out, when Dana Brooke comes out, nobody's popping anymore. These people they've had moments, but they've been relegated to, they're the jobbers on the show that have to lose to the bigger name women. So what I'm saying is, from the Mae Young Classic through the success of NXT, there's a lot of interesting women right now. And I'm not saying gut NXT, but I'm saying maybe call up Lacey Evans and Bianca Belair and Nikki Cross and Kairi Sane and a couple others. And
Brian, yeah.
And let's.
I'm not with you because I just think it's very uneven. Whereas like on SmackDown, there's a number of women back there who like, okay, Carmella may not have liked her as champion, but she gets a reaction. So she could be a champion. Naomi could be a champion. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose both will be a women's champion at some point in their careers. But you're right. On Raw, it's very super top heavy. And with Bayley and Sasha Banks both being in this tag team situation, that doesn't help anything. What I think will happen is once this tag team thing, first of all, will allow a lot more women to get prominent roles and work things out. So suddenly Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville become something, right? Suddenly Nia Jax doesn't always have to fight for the title. They can be a dominant tag team for a period of time. I think all of that is going to work itself out. Yeah, they do need a couple call-ups, but more than anything, they need to even out the rosters, men and women, tag teams, everything on both brands, because they went too far in one direction after the WrestleMania with the superstar shakeup. We said it at the time. Like, man, SmackDown has a chance to be really good. And it only took like a month and it became the A show.
But I guess what I'm saying is they have too many pre-generation women. And I'm not saying, okay, if you wrestled before the NXT 4
no, but you're right.
came to be.
You're right, though.
But you know what? They're only there to lose, and they're there and they kind of look like jokes and clowns. And that's the way they're booked. Dana Brooke has been booked into a clown. Alicia Fox has been booked into a clown. So I'm saying bring up some people who can reinvent who they are. Here's what I wish for this on WWE. It's okay that you have people on your roster that have to lose, because there's no such thing as a jobber anymore unless they want it. When they bring out, they do a match specifically. But at the same time, the people who devolve into these roles at the bottom third of the roster, they become comedic jokes. I don't think everyone who enters that role needs to be a joke, right? They can lose tough. They can lose in a good match. But why do they all have to eventually become jokes is my point.
And it's very easy storytelling for those people to get a surprise win and not even have it be a roll-up. Like, let them hit their finisher, get a win over a star, and then you have a payoff match, a revenge match, and people will call it 50-50 booking. But it's 50-50 when you get the roll-up, and then you have the rematch, and the star beats the crap out of them. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, now they're ruined again. No, you have two tough matches where, like Toriano in New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? The guy, he's never going to be IWGP champion. He's not going to be US champion. He's not going to be Intercontinental champion, right? But during the G1, the guys struggle to beat him, and he occasionally gets a really surprising win. And you're like, oh, Yano's at least legit. He can win any match that he's in. Whereas you get Alicia Fox in there, and you're like, who is she going to ever beat? Because she shouldn't, even though she may have one of the best finishers in WWE. That fisherman suplex is, execution-wise, it's like better than – there are a few other finishers that are better than the way she executes that.
I'm down with her scissors kick too. Shout out to –
yeah, no, she's actually decent, but the gimmick's terrible. With the captain thing happened 2 years ago. It's Survivor Series. It's over. Stop doing it. And like the crazy stuff, that was like 10 years ago. Refresher gimmick. Put her in NXT. Bring up a couple young women. Get some stuff going on. Let her be NXT champion, not over Shayna, but you know, maybe she beats Kairi randomly one time. My point is, there's things you can do. You're 100% right. We would be remiss if we don't get out of this show. If we don't get out of the show at all, because it's been super long, but if we don't get out of the show without talking about the potential of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, we've discussed it on the program previously. It is expected, based on the being the elite storylines, that an announcement will be coming January 1st. Next week, we will be doing our awards episode of State of Combat. So we will not have a normal episode where we're going to be able to discuss things like this and also what happens on Raw and SmackDown. We're going to save that for the new year. But more importantly, we're not going to have another show before this potential announcement. So I think we need to sit down right now, discuss what our actual expectations are for this announcement, BC. What do you think is going to happen on January 1st? What do you think AEW is going to be?
I think it's going to be a promotion that goes for it. I think they're going to announce or they're going to have to announce a major broadcasting deal. Can't be something like Access. It can't be something like a cool new website or app that very few people have ever heard of or know about or have to pay for. I think it's got to almost go the route of TV. Unless you're going Netflix, right? Unless you're straight up going Netflix or something.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere that people all. Here's my point. And this is something that this is a an issue that faces something even like DAZN right now, which has a lot of juice by signing a lot of MMA and boxing players. And now they're
before you
to,
continue, though, wouldn't that make the most sense?
That would not be a bad idea. But even with DAZN, the problem is that you only have people going to DAZN right now who are boxing and MMA fans. So you're not, you know, okay, then if that's the idea, well, you put wrestling on there too and they'll run into it, that's fine. But my point is, if you're going somewhere where you're only attracting a niche audience, you're not going to have people run into it. And people running into it is how you build, outside of marketing, it's how you build these giant things. That's why there's regular TV still does work, because people flip channels and they're going to run into it. Same thing if it's on the Netflix menu and you're like, oh, what's this? So I think it's going to have to be something that you go, oh, okay, I got that channel. I watched that channel. I got to check this out. And I think they got to compete. Maybe not on Monday night against WWE Raw. Maybe that whole Tuesday thing that they trademarked is more of the thing. But you need a weekly show. And that weekly show could be a mixture of Being the Elite and a mixture of matches, whatever you want it to be. I think you got to go weekly. I really do. Maybe you're not going to do an every month pay-per-view format. I think they should also, Adam, allow these wrestlers to still work specifically in Japan and elsewhere to kind of help that, you know. But it'd be interesting if they go all exclusive, because didn't the Ring of Honor show end with them saying goodbye?
Well, the taping, I think, for their next TV show did. Something along those lines. Yeah.
You know, I'm behind on watching the Being the Elite episode, so I'm not being the best representative of the Revolution at the moment. But
all they've really done is basically tease an announcement on January 1st. It's a bunch of storylines that all lead into a countdown clock that counts down to, I think it's midnight on January 1st. So they haven't really been doing too much. The last episode, I don't know if it's Kazarian or if it's Christopher Daniels, but one of them, you know, pretends to be Triple H. He wears the leather jacket. He spits the water, but you only see like the silhouette. You see him from behind. So they paid it off this week with him giving them a contract, them signing it, taking the NXT photo with him, and then super kicking him later in the show and like ripping up the, and after Triple H read the deal and, you know, or read the paper they signed, and the paper they signed was like, you know, it was a poem, but it's like, we're not going, basically. So look, we all knew they weren't going to go to WWE. And we've known for weeks that once these trademarks were uncovered by that really smart Reddit user who searched that database and found them, good for him, or her, we all knew that this AEW thing is the direction they're going. That's key. I don't think it's going to be the promotion to the level that you think it is, at least not off the bat. And that is not saying anything negative. My guess is they're going to open up by saying, yes, we're this AEW promotion. We are. Or there's some syndicate or group or alignment or something like that where they do 4 shows a year, akin to the Big Four in WWE, you know, equivalent. And either they have weekly TV or a weekly show in some form, like you're mentioning, or perhaps more importantly, or maybe even better for them, a monthly show where, whether it's the Tuesday Night Dynamite or whether it's something else, where they allow you to keep up with all the storylines and what they're doing. They pay it off monthly. It's not a pay-per-view, so you don't have to pay money for it. But that show happens organically, and then once a quarter, they have a pay-per-view that you purchase, $39.99. That's how they make a lot of their money. But I think all of it goes along with them not having a roster of talent.
Yeah.
Not signing people exclusively.
That's smart.
Maybe not signing anyone at all, and operating, even though MLW, Major League Wrestling, does have some, I think, exclusive talent, but operating more like that, where they just take the best of the best of the best of the best. They take the best that they can get, whether it's from AAA in Mexico, whether it's from, you know, Ring of Honor talent that's not exclusive, New Japan.
They should be an all-star game of the indies. They should be what I'm getting at. Represented, where everyone's trying to get on their radar to get in their company. And by being open and exclusive like that, you have access to so much talent, potentially. You can bring in the Lucha guys. You can bring in somebody who gets hot at Impact Wrestling. You can do that stuff. So I'd love
that's
to do that.
That's basically what I'm getting at. I just don't know if they would have that New Japan relationship that they could use, because you have to remember with All In, a lot of it was, yeah, it's really cool to have like you know, Bubba Ray and, you know, some of the ROH guys and some, you know, luchadors there. But it was also, I mean, they had Okada, you know, and they had major names from New Japan on that show that really helped them sell that show. So what you're saying, though, is what I was really getting at. It would be an all-star collaboration that does something monthly and four pay-per-views, but it's not what everyone expects. I think what everyone expects is for them to be the next upstart promotion, trying to be big time, trying to go head-to-head with WWE weekly, monthly for pay-per-views. I don't think they're going to do that because the cost of getting into that business is so high. One day they might get there, but to start, I don't think.
But here's how they can be different. When they do this show, it shouldn't be live. It shouldn't be based in a wrestling arena. What they should possibly do is just figure out a way to if they really can be an all-star league, potentially figure out a way to take matches involving their main guys from other promotions and play them on that show, maybe in some kind of share deal, and then use the majority of that weekly show as something revolutionary. So the Being the Elite show was revolutionary. You know what else was revolutionary? The stuff that Billy Corgan did at Impact with Matt Hardy, taking it outside the grounds of the wrestling ring and doing stuff like that. What if that becomes what that show is? I mean, and by the way, Lucha Underground, which I don't watch, I know they've been doing stuff like that for a while, where it's basically like, it's like a episodic, it's a real episodic TV drama show that happens to have a wrestling ring in it. It's right. Sort of what Vince tries to say WWE is, but it still isn't, right? But WWE is skit comedy. So instead of skit comedy, you make it like it's an actual running show, but they have matches. Yeah, like, I think there's a way that they could be so fresh and cool and new. You're going to have to suppress egos and get everybody to play on the same team, but maybe it's that era. In the 80s, when Vince launched National and all the other promoters tried that, nobody could get along or agree or trust each other. It seems to be a different time now, and if at the very least what this does is create a financial alternative for those on the bottom half of the WWE roster who are not being used the way they want to, offering you less dates, the freedom to work in other promotions, and the ability to be featured in four to more pay-per-views that are major per year on the all-in level, then that's going to change the game and add competition. A lot of people are going to have to face this question.
I'm all in. Are you all in, Brian?
Oh, come on. I'm one of the leaders.
Merry Christmas, Brandy.
I'm hitting the drum of this revolution, Brandy. I still question whether that was fully talking about wrestling, but privately, when I'm alone, I can think about that more to myself. So really what I'm saying is, Fergal, people like you, you're going to have to answer
that
question.
Stop with Finn.
Okay?
Finn is not going anywhere. Stop it.
Uncle Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson.
Maybe.
Okay, you guys have been to the top. Come back to where you're happy, where you're there with your family, where you're competing. But
you want them to go to Japan? You want them to fly back to Japan?
The bottom line is, though, it's got to be on a platform that we have, that we can get easily, that people can accidentally run into. Because
I agree.
You have a lot of lapsed fans who cannot stand wrestling anymore, but if they see Cody Rhodes' name, if they see maybe Jim Ross, maybe Chris Jericho, it's going to relight it. They're going to go, oh, I know that guy. Let me see this new show. And if the show feels different than slapstick skit comedy Raw, they got a shot.
What do you think the biggest mistake could possibly be? I think the biggest mistake would be launching their own streaming service.
Like their own app?
Well, like saying, hey, you know, you already pay for WWE Network. You already pay for Honor Club. You already pay for New Japan World. Give us $4.99 a month.
Because you're gonna attract a very small niche audience. You have to.
I think that would be the biggest, number one biggest mistake.
Yep. If they make it look different and feel different, and it's a really good quality, like the quality that All In was as a show, as storylines, as cameos, as all that, I feel like people who do not follow wrestling anymore but once did can watch that and be like, this reminds me of what I used to like. So if they can take the feel of that and use some of the humor they use in Being the Elite, which has been very well done at its best. I mean, could you tell me that if somebody stumbles into that and they see a Kenny Omega work, they're not going to be like, oh, wow, oh, this is what wrestling is like nowadays?
Yeah, it would really be interesting. I'm definitely curious to see what happens on January 1st, but I do caution people that think, you know, I said it already, but I caution people that think they're just going to say on January 1st, hey, FYI, we got a weekly Tuesday night show on NBC, and we're going head to head with NBC's a bad example on TNT, and we're going head-to-head with WWE, and we're going to have a roster of 80 people. We're going to have a women's division, and we're going to have 12 pay-per-views a year. If you're expecting that, you need to lower your expectations. That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be a very pared-down version of a promotion. And more importantly than pared-down, newly thought. And I think that's what you're getting at. I think that is the key to this succeeding, being different.
Now, you mentioned TNT there. That's the level I'm talking about. That's the kind of network. Here's a good example. In MMA, we all know we have UFC. We've got Bellator, who's a firm number two. There's always a couple other organizations. One of them is ONE Championship out of Singapore, Asian-based. They've went out and signed some big-time UFC names that we all know, like Eddie Alvarez, Demetrius Johnson, Sage Northcutt, Misha Tate to be a face of the company, etc. And they just signed a deal with Turner where the big shows are going to be replayed on Turner, but the other stuff is going to be on the Bleacher Report streaming app. So it's kind of it's, you know, it's kind of like they could get promoted on Turner, but if you want to watch it regularly, you got to go to Bleacher Report. But still, the point is they're still going to play those shows on Turner. That's still kind of it's a strong direction, strong foot forward, you know?
Absolutely. So where do we go from here, BC?
I guess we go into the State of Combat, and we keep rolling on, and we prepare for an award show looking back at a weird 2018 in wrestling, and that was big in the Revolution that I thought was bad in WWE, but we'll have a lot of time to break that down. And again, we just cannot say enough thank you to our amazing listeners, because we had some fun with you to a degree, but a lot of this was very real, and your responses were very real, and we really, really appreciate that. How much you care about this show. You know that we love doing it for you and doing it well, right? We represent Queens, right? I was raised down in Brooklyn. And we just really want you to know that thank you. Thank you. Thank you for caring. I mean, we're just two guys talking wrestling, right? Sometimes we get that handsome Greek fella in when he's not making us angry. He's, you know,
well, it's also interesting, too, because some weeks we get a big response when we say something controversial. Other weeks we post a podcast and we get a couple tweets. And I'm always like, is anyone really listening? Like, do people actually care whether we're on or we're not on? And we didn't do this for that reason. But, I mean, I said it earlier. It was flattering. Like, the amount of tweets from people that I've never seen before. More importantly, I know the diehards are always going to listen and always going to praise us, and that's cool. I appreciate that. But the people I've never heard from before, being like, hey, I listen to you every day. You're the best part of my week. Like, that means something.
Yeah, cool. The people who are like, I don't even watch the product anymore, but you keep me up on it and you entertain me. Those are the guys that I'm like, wow, okay, we're doing something good. So thank you to everybody. And again, this is not created to pander to getting Barry Horowitz by all you people. But, but we do appreciate it. We hope you had some fun with the handsome one, Nick. Well, you know, look, he rubs some of you the wrong way. He rubs us the wrong way, but he's a good looking, talented guy. He's doing a lot of right swiping in Stanford. So hide your girls, all right? Hide. Your girls from that guy. Absolutely.
Well, look, five star. That doesn't just because this is changing the name of the podcast doesn't mean we need anything different from you guys. 5-star reviews on iTunes and wherever else you get your podcast. It is all about the five. You follow us at B Campbell CBS, at Silverstein Adam, and at State of Combat on Twitter. And BC, I think it's time.
And one more
thing.
Say
goodbye.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all of you who celebrate, as you'll probably be celebrating by the time you hear from us again. But Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Adam, to you and yours. I know you no-sold Hanukkah, but it still matters, all right? It's still a good holiday. How dare you? And happy Kwanzaa to everyone out there. And it's time to really fold it up. And
by the way, Happy New Year also to everyone, because we're not going to have a show, aside from the awards, which we're going to take this week, until January 1st. DC?
Okay, now say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, now get out of here.
That's a little rough, Randy. No,
yeah, but it is rough. Yeah, wrestling is a rough sport.
We out. But we're coming back. But for now, we out.